Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, if you've had the chance to be with us, you know that we're in a kind of a two-month series, and we're just the third message into this. We're looking at 20 takeaways on this particular portrait of God. He is our family pastor. As you know, I see portraits of God throughout the scripture, and there's a collection of passages that really give us this picture of Him as our family pastor. And I know that sounds unusual, but I trust that this will be a blessing to you as we just get our frame of reference expanded, that He is our family pastor. He wants us to be a family pastor. And wow, there's just so many takeaways that talk about this. We've only covered two so far. We're going to go a little more rapidly now, hopefully get to two or three more. And so as we get started, let me just give you the heads up that we'll be going to Matthew 18. And as you're making your way there, just a quick reminder that all of these messages are archived on my website at markpg.org. And when you get to that landing page, you'll see several boxes. One has printed guides on hot topics for Christian living and in Christendom. Another one has videos, 3-minute videos. That box will take you to a place where there are 3-minute videos on portraits of God. Articles, there's articles I've written for local publications on various themes called Whispers of God. But then one is called Broadcasts. And that's where you can go. Click on that one. It'll take you to a landing page to click on Portraits of God, and boom, you'll have all of these messages, 27 minutes long, that you can listen to again and again and share with others. So that's markpg.org, and all of those tools have one thing in mind, helping you hear God. And that's our goal today. So let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Lord, I just am so honored to be able to come together with my brothers and sisters to sit at your feet like this, Lord. And I get to share the things that you've been teaching me, and I get to do my best just to share them in a way that will be embedded in our hearts, that you can draw upon for us to live out in real time. So thank you, Father, for being that kind of a father to us, our family pastor. And Lord, thank you again for wanting nothing but the best for us in our lives, and being a God who loves to talk to His children, love having the conversations with us all the time. Your whispers are always there. If we can just kind of settle the noise in our own hearts and kind of step away from the noise of this world, we can hear your whispers all the more. So thank you, Lord, for being a God who loves to speak. We are ready to hear. Oh, and we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen, amen, and amen. All right, well, our key theme for this Portrait of God series is that the Lord is our family pastor with a heart for children, parents, and all kinds of families. And the first of 20 takeaways that we covered a couple of weeks ago was that families are amazingly varied. We looked at the story of the Lord Jesus Himself, who had half-brothers and sisters because He had a stepfather. He didn't even come from the standard biological father, biological mother, biological brothers and sisters, you know, all full-blooded together. Nope, He didn't. We have Esther and her uncle Mordecai as a family. We have Ruth and her mother-in-law Naomi that was a family, and on and on and on. There's like 25 different kinds of families in the scripture. Families are amazingly varied, and Jesus loves them all. So that was number one, families are amazingly varied. Number two, children are our top priority like Jesus. Matthew 18, verse 4 through 5, therefore whoever humbles himself as this little child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And listen to this, whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Wow, top priority there. So we talked about that at length. Now, as we go on in Matthew chapter 18, verse 6, we come to this stunning verse where Jesus says, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea." What's our takeaway here? Well, Jesus, our family pastor, wants us to know that children are to be seriously protected. We saw last time children are our top priority, like Jesus showed us. Now children are to be seriously protected. Man, you cause one of these to stumble, you hurt one of these little ones like this, better for you to have a millstone hung around your neck and be drowned in the depth of the sea than to do that. So let's talk about real-world challenges. I mean, obviously, our minds can go quickly to the crisis of children being trafficked, children that are homeless, children that are orphaned. In fact, one of our churches in our association of a little over 100 churches here was sharing with me just the other day that a ministry that they started about a year ago, in one visit to India, they ended up rescuing 16 trafficked children, raising the money to buy them from the traffickers so they wouldn't be trafficked, but instead they would be shared the gospel of Jesus Christ and all. And then out of that, they ended up, four orphanages have come under their watch care now, and over, you know, 50 or 60 kids that they're helping. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, as you know. There's abuse, there's neglect all over the place in every country, even in the U.S., there's a huge crisis. We need to protect our children. So I hope you are involved in at least supporting those ministries that are doing what they can to protect children. But more closer to home, we are living in a day when the hearts and the minds of children are being harvested by all kinds of groups. A lot of them are using the public school systems to try to do that. The LGBTQ community, though well-intended, I totally get, they have their own orientation, their own philosophy and all. In their minds, they are trying to rescue children from families that are being overbearing, and they're pushing and have been for decades for books that teach gender roles and sexual things at very, very young ages. Some would say they're grooming them for us. They would say, no, we're educating them so they know what to do. But it's a rampant fight in so many school districts with which philosophy, a humanist philosophy with LGBTQ doctrine being inculcated into the minds of the kids, or is it the Judeo-ethic, Christian-based, Bible-based, moral ethic and gospel truths? Well, we know that's been outlawed from the public schools, and that humanism has free reign in the public schools, and people don't even realize that. But this is how we've come to the place where there's gender selection that's being taught, where kids are being said, you've got a right to choose your own gender and all. And there's so much confusion. Brains aren't even fully formed till we're in their mid-20s and all. Parents are here, adults are here to guide children and to protect children from being indoctrinated with the kinds of things that will be damaging to them in the short run, in the mid run, and in the long run. And of course, that's the raging debate. One side thinks they're doing it properly. The other side thinks, no, we're doing it properly. And the fight is on. In the abortion debate, same thing. You know, the right to life, the right to recognize that children inside the womb are children. They're not just a fetus. They're not just gobs of tissue. It's a beating heart. It's a brain being formed. And just because a developing child is inside the womb doesn't mean it's game to be aborted or killed or extracted. Because if that same child were outside the womb, having been birthed, the same child, Now it would be infanticide. And so the debate is raging, and children are in serious danger from from the womb to the schools, to the cultures, not to mention what happens online. Kids are getting phones now at ages 10, 11, 12, going on sites and being actually hunted, stalked, cyber stalking, that type of thing. We can go on and on. My friends, children are to be seriously protected. You need to do everything you can to protect your children at home, any children under your charge. We need to be serious about helping them discover the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the family of God, with sensibilities and truths and lifestyles and philosophies of living that are consistent with His Word, so that they can thrive. It's going on. There's a lot of ways to talk about this. I could go on for a series on this, but you get the picture. Matthew 18:6 makes it perfectly clear, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Do not mess with children. Do not let others mess with children. Children are to be seriously protected. Well, as we move on, we come to number four, which is a nice, encouraging word from Matthew chapter 18, 10, as we're still in Matthew 18. I love how Jesus says this. It's an intriguing passage. It really sparks our imagination. It says, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. Let me stop there for just a moment before we get to the rest of the verse. Yeah, you know, let's just be honest. Sometimes we can, when you're parents, young parents with young kids, and it's just, I mean, life is going a mile a minute. There's all kinds of things going on. Kids might have some sibling rivalries going on. They've got their own problems, stuff. Sometimes we just want to pull our hair out. We can get very frustrated, and we hate to say it. I mean, we love our children, but boy, do we get tired of them. We kind of despise them for right now. And okay, well, take a deep breath. You know, it's okay. It's momentary. Just take a deep breath. Say, Lord, no, I don't despise them, but I am a little overwhelmed right now. Okay, well, that's good. Well, let's just kind of get a handle on that one and not go on a guilt trip. But just recognize these are the times when we realize we really need a Savior to help us in our own hearts, and to recognize that we're not alone. Because the passage goes on to say this, for I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father. Their angels, the children's angels. This is where we get the idea of guardian angels. And the big question over the years, hey, does each child have a guardian angel? Does each person have a guardian angel? Is it true, like A Wonderful Life, that Charlie came to help, you know, George Bailey, you know, and that type of a thing, and that was a fanciful trip for sure and all? Well, okay, we cannot say definitively, but what we can say this, we know there is an angelic host. We know that the term angel means messenger. We know that the scripture gives us many stories of how angels have guarded people, protected them. We hear stories from the mission field about visions of enemies getting ready to take Christians or missionaries in a compound, but then they run off because they see a vision of supernatural angels guarding the place. They say, we don't want to mess with them, and off they go. I mean, we have all kinds of stories out there like that. I think they're glimpses of the supernatural. I believe that angels are real. It's not far-fetched to believe that it's an organized host and that God appoints angels to keep guard, especially over the children that are so vulnerable. I love that thought. I love that idea. And certainly we're not going to see physical presence of angels and be aware at the time like they did in the Bible times, at least not regularly, Most would say never at all. But I do believe the stories of sometimes how we entertain angels unaware, as it says in Hebrews. So I like this passage. It's an encouraging one. And it, when I was a parent of little ones, my wife and I loved the idea that we're not alone. God's watching over them. His angels are watching over them. We're all in this together. I believe that the Lord has had his watch care over me. So when I was 12 years old, I was on my way to Little League baseball practice on my bike. And you know, when you're that age and you're a young man and you're a star baseball player, you think you kind of own the world a little bit like that. And I was having to cross a busy four-way intersection on my bike to get to the ball field this particular day. And rather than going to the light at the corner and wait for all the lights, I thought, well, I know you're supposed to do that. But they were all stopped at that red light, perfectly still. I decided, you know what? They're perfectly still on the other lane across the way. It was perfectly empty because of the red light of the oncoming traffic. So, hey, I'll just ride between the two rows of perfectly still cars across the vacant road, and voila, sucker, I'm going to be there way before you guys waiting for the light. What I didn't realize, what I didn't account for, was the center turn lane. Because as I wove in between the two cars in the curbside lane, then the next lane, as I began to enter the center turn lane toward that light, a car came zooming in. I ended up hitting the right front tire with my bike tire. Had I been a second or two earlier, it would have hit me and killed me. As it was, when I hit the car tire of the moving car with my bike tire, it threw the bike and me into the street. I rolled across the pavement. The car screeched to a halt. I escaped death, but I was scraped up very badly. And of course, the police officers came, my parents came, it was a close call. I could have been easily killed. It was just a matter of 2 seconds. I believe a guardian angel helped slow me down a little bit to save my life. God did it, regardless of the mechanism. But I love this. We're not alone. We have others supernaturally guarding our children as well. And that's an encouraging thought. We have the Lord Himself speaking, whispering to us by His Holy Spirit. That's an encouraging thought. I just want to make the point. Children are supernaturally guarded. That's number four. Families are amazingly varied. Children are our top priority, like Jesus. Number two, three, children are to be seriously protected. And number four, children are supernaturally guarded. And that's encouraging. Well, as we carry on, let's go to number five. I want you to see that children are to be joyfully welcomed. Children are to be joyfully welcomed. That's what the Lord, our family pastor, wants to know. You know, we have this thing in our family over the years. The question is, when your mate comes into the room, when your children come into the room, do you light up? Hey, how you doing? Oh, hello. Or is that like, okay, what do you want? I mean, think about it. When you go to a party, when you're at church, when you're at work and people first see you, do they light up? And when they do, does that make you feel like $1 million? Or they kind of go, whatever. How does that make you feel? How do you respond to people when they show up? And I think I know the answer. Well, it depends on the person. Some people I light up about. Others I groan. Yeah, I get that. I totally get that. But here, what we're talking about is, number five, children are to be joyfully welcomed. Let me take you to Matthew 19, one more chapter. We've been in Matthew 18. Matthew 19, verses 13 through 14. And by the way, Mark 10 talks about this. Luke 18 talks about this too. But here's what it says. Then little children were brought to him, that is Jesus, that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. What do you mean? Oh, keep those kids away. We're busy here. This is the rabbi. Hello. But Jesus said, let the children come to me. Let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. So what do we have here? Jesus is saying, dudes, wait a minute. He rebuked them. The disciples were rebuking the people and the children for coming to crowd into the space to kind of interrupt Jesus. But Jesus said, whoa, 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 whoa. She said, hang on. No, don't stop them. Welcome them. Joyfully welcome them. Don't forbid them. The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Do you joyfully welcome children? As we mentioned, if you're the parent, do you light up for them? Do you look forward to them? Are you just embracing them and nurturing them and encouraging them and all those things? And what about in church? If you're serving at church, you're a greeter, you're a Sunday school teacher, or you're a children's church worker, whatever. Do you make them feel like they are joyfully welcomed? If you're in the school system, if you're coaching a little team, do you make them feel joyfully welcomed? Yes, I know some children are harder to feel more joyfully welcomed than others, but you know what? They probably need it all the more because they may not be getting it at home or anywhere else. And you can be the one that makes all the difference in the world to make them feel like they are important. You welcome them with open arms. Jesus actually gave the disciples a pretty big rebuke. Don't rebuke them and don't forbid them from coming. Hello? I want to welcome them with open arms. I want them to sit on my knees. I want them to sit at my feet. I want to tell them stories. They're not a nuisance. They are well worth our time. So over the years, for me, I was a pastor at the local church level for I guess close to 40 years now that I think about it. Almost 30 of those years when I was a lead pastor, though, I very soon after becoming a lead pastor sensed a calling of the Lord to do a children's sermon personally for the children every Sunday, and that story, that children's sermon, would actually be the opening to the adult sermon that I would preach later in the service. So the way we did it, and we loved this, and I would do it this way again today if I were still pastoring. About 10 years ago, the Lord moved me over to oversee all of our churches in this area, and I get to preach, but I don't get to do children's sermons anymore, and I miss that because here's what we did. We would encourage families, listen, worship together at the first half of the service. This is where we're singing the songs. This is when we're sharing the opportunities for service or ministry or projects. This is when we take up the offering. In that context, doing those kinds of things, the children are perfectly fine. They can be a little bit fidgety and wiggly because we're singing songs and we're hearing, you know, about projects and we're taking them off. That's fine. And then about halfway through is when we'd have the welcome of guests. And I would say, okay, while we're greeting each other in the name of the Lord, I'd say, I'm gonna invite everybody to stand. And while we're greeting each other in the name of the Lord, I'm gonna invite the children to come up for their story time. And they would just run up there before the adults could even stand. Those kids were shot out of their chairs from all over the auditorium. They'd run to the stage and up there with me. They'd come and they'd give me a big hug. They'd sit at my feet, you know, and stuff as the others are greeting each other and the congregation. They were assembling at my feet. And then as the music died down after about 30 seconds or so of welcoming or 45 or a minute, I said, okay, all right, I got a special story for you about Fred the Fish. And I'd have a picture of some cartoon fish up there and tell a story about Fred the Fish or whatever the story was for the day. They loved it. And it was just a 1 minute children's sermon with a point and a story that they can remember. And then I'd say, now we have the children's bulletin from last week. Let's see who's from last week's illustrations, because I want you to draw a picture of the story you just heard. When you go back into children's church, you draw a picture of what you just heard, give it to your teacher. We'll see you in the bulletin next week. But this week, it's Billy's on one side, Sally's is on the other side, those two covers. So you draw your picture. They love that. They grab that, and then they'd go off to children's church. But here's the thing. Whenever I'd be out at a grocery store or in a shopping center or somewhere else, and one of these families with the kids would see me, the little ones would, look, Mom, the story guy. And they'd come and they'd run up and they'd hug me on my knees and, oh, how are you doing? And all that stuff. Bonding with the children. Pastor, if you're a pastor, if you tell these children a story every Sunday, you're communicating they are important. You are welcoming them joyfully in the middle of a service. You're demonstrating to the entire church family that you welcome children joyfully. You take time for them. You're modeling what it is to tell them stories and to hug on them and high-five them and light up. And that gets transferred to your children's workers and your VBS workers and your children's clubs, all the different things, but also at home. Children are important. They are to be joyfully welcomed. And that became one of my favorite ways of doing that. One time we were having a long service. It was Easter. It was communion and stuff. I said, yeah, we don't have time for the children's story. Huge mistake. I heard about it for weeks. Why? Can't believe we skipped the service. The children are part. You're right. I botched it. And I went 18 years every Sunday telling children stories until the Lord moved me on. I hope you do the same. Why? Because children are to be joyfully welcomed, just like Jesus said on that day. Well, Lord, we're just so grateful for the privilege you give us to treasure children, welcome children. Make them a top priority. Protect them. Thank you for that. Oh, you're so good to us. You are our family, Pastor Lord, and you want us to do likewise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org. Till next time, oh, fall in love with Jesus, our family pastor.